the session with the Liberty Church London. Thank you. I really look forward to being there live. I enjoyed myself and I look forward to being there live. How are you guys doing today? How is everything? Has it finished?
Yeah.
I was enjoying the song. Facebook, where are you? YouTube, where are you? Can I see your comments? Let me know. Let me know where you're from. Please tell anybody that needs to be here. Today we're going to answer. Yeah, Tolu, I see you. Loretta, I see you. Chidima, I see you. How is everybody? How you guys doing? I want us to go right into it. It's not going to be long. The things of God doesn't need complication. Hey, my Houston family, how are you guys doing? Is polygamy right or wrong? We'll talk about that today. Hope my Bible people are around. Ojuma can go. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the love. I see you. I'm not your regular. Okay, so. Hope we can start, guys. Yes. So basically, we moved from the abuse drama to polygamy issues, and for us, we still need to keep putting out God's word. It's very important. I know that this generation consumes and picks things largely from media, so that's why sometimes I like to, you know, jump on some of these things and bring God's perspective. You know, very important, because people will just, you know, jump on these things and start, you know, lying on God. You know, it's common. So I'm going to look at some of these things from a biblical point of view. Those of you that are in Lagos, hey, I want to invite you for a special series. We're starting church tomorrow titled Ecclesia. It's talking about the church. And teaching God's word is part of what the church is for. Because sometimes if you just read the Bible on the surface, it can look like it's saying what it's not saying. And that's why you need a Bible teacher. That's why you need pastors. All right? Very, very important. People that God has anointed to teach, to explain scriptures. You can't just say, hey, I just read it on the surface and I'll just apply it. You know? Okay, so is polygamy right or wrong? I need to say this now as we start. You know, that the issue of polygamy is not, you know, just a man issue. What do I mean by that? It's not just an issue of... Zoe, are you back from Egypt? It's not just a man issue. Now, I know that this topic kind of supports women. So, because women don't like polygamy, it doesn't favor women. So, I know I will get a lot of female support today. That, yes, don't agree with polygamy. That's not what this is about. This is not about the weakness or the sin of men. This is about the sin and weakness of mankind. It's about the sin and weakness of mankind. It's not a man problem. It's a mankind problem. It's not a men has come issue. It's a human beings need saving issue. From the day Adam sinned, man fell. Man needed saving. From the day Adam sinned, you know, man needed saving. So man and women are flawed. Men and women are flawed. So this issue is not just me coming to tell men what they can and cannot do, that you men are wrong. No, it's a mankind problem. Human beings are flawed, guys. Women are not better than men. Women also have plenty problems, plenty issues. All right, this is a mankind problem. From the day Adam sinned, men have needed saving. They've needed the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, women are equally bad. Women commit atrocities. They sleep around. They brag on which celebrity they've slept with. I've had to counsel many people sometimes that they wouldn't be bragging on, you know, these are married people they're calling celebrities they slept with. Married people. You know. So women as evil as men. I'm just dealing today with one of the evils of men, of the gender male. But man and woman are both evil except for the grace of Jesus Christ. This is why we need to seek for salvation. The only true thing that will change a human's heart is salvation. We cannot go beyond that. We can't go out. We can't overemphasize that. Outside of that, men and women are just flawed and they're horrible. Men and women are horrible. So I just get to do the intro. Okay, so is polygamy good or not? Let me start by saying some of the popular arguments I have heard people say, and if I miss any of those arguments, please, if you can put it in the comment section, that's what I can remember and take note of it and address it. But I'll mention some of the popular arguments. You know, it's always the evil of mankind featuring polygamy. Exactly. Who said this? Debomi cakes. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Debomi cakes. Beautiful. Evil of mankind featuring polygamy. You're absolutely right. That's how it is. So it's not a women versus men thing. All right. Women are part of this. Okay. So some of the popular arguments people give for polygamy is it's not because we're easy to Facebook and YouTube together. Just a minute, guys. We want the YouTube and Facebook to be stable. Okay, it's got us stable now. All right. So, so I'm saying, so these are the popular arguments people have, and I'm going to go through some of them. One popular one that people used to say, the reason why they feel polygamy is okay, is that women are more in population than men. That women are more in population than men, and that is a good point. That is a good point. If it was true that women are more than men, then that could be an issue of concern. You know, that hey, if for instance in a city there are 3 million women and there are 2 million men, it literally means, you know, 1 million women will not have husbands. You know, that's what it means. That is a good point. That is a good point. However, population of men and women are almost equal globally. So that's the first thing. It's almost equal globally. It's just 50.4% maybe can be more women. So men are, you know, 49 points something. So they're practically the same. And even if, you know, women are more in number, does this mean men should marry more than one woman? Would we also say the same thing if there were more men than women? Would we say that women can marry two husbands? Would we say that? So for me, even though that looks like a good point, it won't be a point to justify polygamy. It will not be a point. It's like telling me that because there are no jobs, you know, someone should do something illegal because there are not enough jobs. We'll find jobs. We'll find a way around it. That's the first argument. Second argument some people have is that one woman usually can't satisfy the needs of a man. One woman usually can't satisfy the need of a man. That is also another very, very, very important point, interestingly. You know, that's also another important point, interestingly. Because of the truth, guys, in a natural setting, a man's sexual appetite is generally higher than a woman's own. A man has what is called, testosterone, so it makes him more aggressive, more sexual, you know, than a woman. Okay, so this is scientifically proven. So yes, that is a fact. And most times, because of what a woman goes through to give birth, take care of kids, now most of them work also. A woman's sexual appetite is definitely, usually in most cases, okay, not going to match that of a man. So sometimes a man feels he needs other people to satisfy that his sexual needs. So, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But still not a strong enough point for me to believe in polygamy. Why? Because we all have insatiable needs as humans. We all have insatiable needs. We are the ladies here that like bags. If you're a lady and you like, you know, designer bags, LV, all that. I want people who will write the verse, chapter and verse on it. You know, doesn't mean, you know, you should go and steal to get that money. That's why you see the guys in our government. You see how much, if you know how much they take, and they never get tired. Contentment is a thing. It has nothing to do with how much you have. Contentment has nothing to do with how much you have. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with how much you are determined to be happy with what you have. You do get that. It's not about what you have. It's about you being happy with what you have. That's what happens. So, telling me that one woman can't satisfy the needs of a man, you might have a good point. You might have a good point. By the time that woman breastfeeds two children, three children, prepares them for school, she goes to work and all that. It's true. A man's sexual urge is way, way, way higher. Definitely. So that's true. Sometimes as a woman even gets older, she has more other things in her mind. You're not thinking of sex every day. But a man can still be very, very sexual in his thoughts and in his everything. But that is not a reason to get another wife. What that person needs is self-control. What that person needs is contentment. Because we don't get satisfied with our need for more money. We don't get satisfied with need for more bags, more shoes. We can't keep buying and buying and buying. We must get to the stage where we say, hey, I have to just be happy with what I have. Okay, that's another argument they have. On that argument, again, is that, hey, maybe the man doesn't have a child with his wife or doesn't have a male child. I even heard some people say it over the case that was trending. And I was so ashamed that we have educated people in our country still talking like this. That, oh, they were saying, why would he go and marry another woman? He has male and female children from his wife. That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. So if he didn't have male children from his wife, would that make polygamy okay? It don't. Remember, like I said, this is not about the personalities involved. I don't know them personally or have an issue. So anybody can marry as many wives as they want. I'm talking from, I'm teaching. You know, that's what I'm doing. It's not about the personalities. Don't get me wrong. But I was able to make those kind of incredible comments. That he has male and female children. Why is he going to marry another wife? So if he didn't have male and female children, let's say he had only girls, let's just say so. So you will say he should marry another wife. It is clear, scientifically, it is a man that determines the gender of the baby. So if all he's giving is female, the hormones, the XY and all these things. If all he's giving is female, even if he sleeps with 100 different women, he will still have girls. And if in the course of sleeping with other women, he eventually has a boy, it's just a product of chance. It has nothing to do with the fact that it was another woman. So when I see educated people in my country saying things like, oh, yeah, but he has male and female, you see, those kind of talk shows you that this woman would have been okay if it was that he had only female children. These same women, and you see, still women, I'm saying women are not better than men. Women are as guilty in this thing as men are. Humans are flawed. We need Jesus Christ to bring our conscience alive, to bring our heart alive. Pastor, that we're all horrible people. So what some of these people are saying is that if he had only female children, they will be okay with him having another wife because he needs a boy. You must understand that marriage is a covenant and you've made a vow to somebody. You know, we just don't take this thing seriously. You know, marriage is a covenant and a commitment. You can't tell somebody, I love you and I'm staying with you, and then they are not having children, you know, which could be any of the party's fault, or they're having only female children, and then you want to break that commitment, that covenant, that move. If God was like that towards us, we'll be in trouble. Imagine if God told you, if you give life to Christ, you go to heaven, and you give life to Christ, and you reach heaven, and say, ah, this thing, you know, we couldn't just keep that promise to you, you will go to hell. Can you picture that? So that would be very wrong. Okay? So that's not an excuse that he has with female children or not. It's men that even determine the sex. It has nothing to do with how many wives you have. You know, it's amazing. I'm surprised when I was seeing adults in my country, you know, making those kind of comments. You know, young people nowadays don't read anything, don't learn anything. It's kids. We're just watching skits morning after midnight. That's what we're doing. We're not actually learning. Okay. Then the last one, which is where I'm going to round these things up, you know. The last one is that people were saying that God actually approves it. God is okay with polygamy. So this is where I really come in, you know. Please, you must understand, when you are interpreting scripture, because there are so many people, see, there are so many people that are just teaching. Put it on my head. She doesn't mean put it on my head. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You must understand the nature of who is talking. If you don't understand the nature of who is talking, you can misinterpret what is being said. So let me give you another example, and I hope this is helping somebody. Let me, Sawichi, I see how you guys do it. Let me give you another example. So when I was going to design the flyer, the topic for this message, for this IG Live, one of the things I wanted to do, I wanted to tell them to write the title as I believe in polygamy, or I recommend polygamy. That's what I wanted them to do with us. I wanted it to be catchy. I wanted it to be controversial enough to generate enough traction. Now, if I had written that I believe in polygamy or I recommend polygamy, you know, because my plan was to write that and later come back and explain why I said what I said in the title, you know. Now, but if I had written that, somebody that has never seen me before, somebody that, that doesn't know me, we just say, how can pastor say he believes in polygamy? This pastor, useless pastor, come again. This pastor, that just start talking rubbish. But now, any of you here on this IG Live or watching me on YouTube or whatever that knows me and know what we teach, know what we stand for, or you attend my church, for instance, you would know that's not what I'm saying. You don't even have to ask me if you're a sensible member or, you know, because I was unhappy. If you're a sensible person that okay, cannot be okay. It's always going to start with you where you are. You know, can start from Matthew 19 and see what the Bible says there. Matthew 19 was Jesus, you know, speaking both about the old and the new together when they were asking questions. Let us read it. Some of you already know this. We used this when we talked about the first. So it still applies in this case. He said from verse 2, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, you know, made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they two, and that's they two, shall be one flesh. It's clear that they two shall be one flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. This is the structure. That's why I talked to you about structure. And cleave his wife. So wherefore, they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, talking about covenant now, again, let no man put asunder. Alright? So they now said, why did Moses then command us to give a bit of divorcement and put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, allowed you, not that he commanded, he allowed you, put away your wives. He said, but from the beginning, just in case you're wondering, God stand up. To Jacob, to so that is clear. So just because Abraham did it, it's not everything Abraham did that we can copy. Even me as a pastor living today in this time, please, not everything I do you can copy. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So you can't copy everything I'm doing. Just copy the things I'm doing that is like Christ. You can't. If I make a mistake, if I'm married and I've divorced, you're not going to now say, oh, because I'm following Pastor K, I must divorce first to be a good follower. No! Do not do that. So, yes, Abraham is our father, but we can't copy everything. Is here. If I just slap him now, you know, God is not going to do anything, you know. It's not, it has nothing to do with God. All right. Things like slavery was common at the time. It doesn't mean God supports it. No, God does not support slavery at all.
Thank you.
At that it doesn't, you know, you can claim that something is hard to do, but don't now say it's right to do. That's why people are getting challenged. You can say something is hard to do, don't turn it to it's right to do. You can say it's hard to stay with one woman till you die. I agree, but don't say it's right to sleep around. No, that's a different ball game. All right, that's a different ball game. So let's be clear. The fact that this man had wives, had concubines, had this thing, doesn't make it right. David even killed somebody's husband first. That doesn't make it right. We can't copy that. And notice God still accommodated him in that. Not that God said, I'm supporting this action, but God needs to keep his covenant with mankind. I need to understand this, guys. And now, all the people that quote things like, oh, you know, all the fathers had many wives. Did you also see the consequences of all their actions? Did you see the consequences of that action? None of them had it easy with those situations. Abraham's own, we're still dealing with it now. There's still bombs flying in Palestine and Israel today because of that one act of Abraham sleeping with Hagar. We're still on it today. Ishmael and Isaac are still fighting. So it didn't go on. It didn't end well. Is it... Jacob and Cohen want to talk about it. It didn't end well. Is it David's own? There was incest in David's house. There was murder in David's house. There was all kinds of fighting in David's house. There was consequences. So these are the things you should, if you're going to follow scripture, really look at it there. Is it Solomon's own want to talk about? That he eventually lost his flow with God. Those women dragged him away from God and entered that. So check the details. Listen, it can never, God can never, I don't even know how people can even rope God in. That's what I'm saying. You must know the nature. When you know the nature of who you claim is saying this, you know it can never be God. You know, anytime you see that it looks like scripture contradicts itself, it's never scripture. Scripture never contradicts itself. You just haven't understood. You know? You just haven't understood the scriptures. Scripture will never contradict itself. It will never contradict the nature of God. Never. Never. So, we've talked about the structure. Did you notice? Even after creation, we know that they made, it was two becoming one. But even when they were destroying the ark, did you still notice again that all animals were brought two by two? That structure, there's a structure there. There's a pattern there. You can't run from it. When the animals were even brought to the ark, it was two by two. So please, those of you that say we should marry many wives, what's the limit? 1,000 like Solomon? Is that where we're going to go? Because if you are not satisfied with one person, you'll be satisfied by 10. Solomon proved that for us. Solomon proved it. Okay. So, if God never instructed, it's really accommodated, I mentioned, and there are other topics like slavery and co. That was clearly in scripture. God never told them, go and take on that person as your slave. But however, if we saw that men were already doing that, he had to give them guidelines to how to do it so they won't overstretch issues. Now, let's talk about the fact that the Bible says, because that's that thing they quote, that the Bible says the pastors should be husbands of one wife. You see this in 1 Timothy 3, 2. Somebody should give that to me. You know, 1 Timothy 3, verse 20. So they were talking about how the men of God should be. And they mentioned the fact that a man of God should, you know, should be husband of one wife. So that's another excuse some people used to say, that only pastors, that one is even funny. you know, that only pastors should have one wife, meaning that church members can have many wives. What a joke. I need somebody, if you might now, give me the scripture now. Let me pin it before I start talking about it, because I need to pin that scripture. Please, somebody should give me that scripture quickly. So people actually, you know, man, when I hear about some people saying the name of Bible, actually, I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked. Yeah, that's the scripture there. First Timothy 3. So they say bishop. Bishop means an overseer, okay, or a senior pastor, or whatever. So they said the bishop then must be blameless. He said the husband of one wife. So people now said, what they are now saying is that it's only the pastor that should have one wife. Members should have plenty of wives. Even the very video, it's not interesting. So, okay, the pastor should not smoke weed. But members can smoke weed. Who becomes pastors? It's members that grow. So every pastor was once a member. Hey! Pastors should not drink gin and Hennessy. But communion, after our service, members can gather at the back and pop something. What do you even think the Church of Jesus Christ is? What do you think we're talking about here? What do you think we're talking about here? There is no difference between the pastor and the members, because every pastor was once a member. And every pastor is still a member of the body of Christ and a member of the church. So that's not what they were. Anytime you see, like, looks like scripture contradicts itself, it never contradicts itself. You just have not understood it. So you must be open to change and open to learn. Scripture never contradicts. What a big joke. So pastors should marry one wife, but members. So deacon enter with 13 wives. Again, I've told you, is there a limit to this number? So pastor has one wife, but deacon come with 13. He has made 13. They all enter church. 13 wives. How does that even make sense to you? How do you even come up with these ideas? The Bible says we are kings and priests. Every believer is a priest. This is why we have many Christians that are living, you know, below their standard, because they think pastors live on one level. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. All of us in Christ are the same. The difference is that the pastor has an assignment to teach the word. He's anointed to teach the word. It doesn't mean he's a separate kind of Christian. There's no special salvation for pastors. The reason why they said the pastor must be the husband of one wife in those cases is that, remember, Christianity was still new. So they were establishing Christianity in that same culture where people already had many wives. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. If I go to some villages today, it's normal for them to have many wives. So if I go there and plant a church, I won't come and start telling them, everybody go and drop your other second wife, third wife. No. That's not what my job is there to do. They are saying that if I go to those places where people already have many wives, I shouldn't ordain anybody that has more than one wife already as a pastor. I should make sure the person I'm selecting to pastor the church in that community where they already marry many wives should be somebody that has one wife. Why? The question, every time you see something scripture, ask why. There's really simple reason why they say we should not ordain that guy with 13 wives, but ordain the one with one wife, is because the one with one wife is the example we want the other people to follow. If we ordain the guy with 13 wives as the pastor of the church, guess what's going to happen next week Sunday? Everybody will bring their own 13 wives. It's very simple. Me, I do it. Even in offices, some people that work in offices, your bosses do it. When they have a member of staff that comes early, they put him in a good position. When they have a member of staff that finishes tasks, because they want people to see the example of the kind of staff they want. Even me as a pastor, I do it. If I have a worker in my church that is doing the right thing, I put him where people can see, because this is what I want to duplicate. Not the guys that come late. You don't promote the guys that come late. Is somebody get what I'm saying? So what they were doing is that these churches were all new. They were being planted in communities where people already had many wives. They said, don't ordain any of the guys that have more than one wife, because that would be a negative example. We don't want that. He said, ordain the guy that has one wife so that everybody will start seeing that this is the right way to go. That's why they said that. Not because they're not trying to say that, other people should be having wives. That's not what they're trying to say. If the first Peter and Paul, maybe off scripture, says it, that the pastor is supposed to be an example.
is there for example. So a pastor and a pastor's wife have to dress the way they want people to dress. That's why a pastor's wife can't be somebody that, there's a lot of guys in relationship coaching went to marry a woman like that, that we all knew this one can't survive. They are divorced today. We all knew from the beginning, you can't go marry this girl now. The marriage table is a pastor's wife, all her picture on Instagram, like, press, everything showing. Yeah, after 2 years, they are divorced now. We all knew they were going to be not going to work because the man was serious, a serious born again Christian preacher, going to marry somebody that was not serious. That's what we are saying. So the pastors will dress as an example. They will live as an example. That's what it's about. It's not that all pastors are being held to a higher level. No. No, 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 no. Any sin you are tempted with, I'm tempted with too. They don't have a special package for me that doesn't include temptation. No. Somebody get what I'm saying? So how do you look at this scripture and say this means members should go and marry? Are you kidding? Okay, so if the scripture is here, and it means members can marry, you think, what are they waiting for? What are the members waiting for? In fact, if you want to even ordain somebody, he will dodge his head from the ordination. No, ordain me. No, I get babe. I want to marry. You see, you can't even successfully marry another wife without you already choosing your wife. He already has babies. He's working on. You want to ordain him? He's dodging the oil. Don't ordain me. Now, what's for my runs? I get a ring me what they work on. You can't successfully run marry a second wife without first sitting with her now. You're running package now. So, these things are ridiculous that somebody is saying that. That means they don't know the nature of God. That somebody is saying that it's possible. So, hope you understand this scripture, please. So, when you say husband and one wife, it's not talking about that pastor should marry one wife, members marry as many as you want. It's ridiculous. It's insulting on scripture. If you understand the nature of God, the standard of God, structure of God, and the culture of men, it's men that just want more wives. Do you know that polygamy is only tilted to the men's side? Everybody talks about polyandry, whatever is this. They don't want, if we are talking about women are more in number than men. So what if men are more in number than women? Are we also going to give this energy to say that women should marry more than one man? He said, there's no one woman that can meet a man's need. Listen, guess what? There's no one man that can meet all of a woman's needs. Hey! There's no one man. This is why many women too still have runnings outside. Because most men can't meet, it's only very few men that can meet all their wives' financial needs. Only very few. Most of us, we're just managing. Do you know what a woman needs? Most women need shopping at least once every month. Sometimes abroad. Most men' income can never do that. So this is why some married women still have some men taking care of them outside. So no one man can meet all a woman's emotional needs. The woman herself doesn't know all her own emotional needs sometimes. You go write poem, you go do surprise, you go do this thing. Sometimes, there's no one man that can meet all the world. So, are you saying that women should go and marry more than one? You should notice that all these men that talk about polygamy, they can never be able to say the same thing in the reverse. So, if women that are items that can be duplicated in multiple forms, but a woman can marry more than one man. Because most men won't even stay for that. And God is not fair. God is not unfair. God doesn't see women as less than men. It's culture. It's people that I'm saying again, come back to culture. It's people pushing that. In the eyes of God, men and women are equal. So they are both joint heirs with Christ. God doesn't see them as different. So if you are telling me a man can marry more than one wife, a woman too should marry more than one wife. My husband. But most of these guys that push polygamy can't agree to that. They feel women are lesser items that we can marry many of. So if a woman has the money to marry more than one husband, can she marry more than one husband? It just won't work. So it's just men that are dealing with their libido, and I understand the challenge, guys. But don't say it's God. Say it's hard. Don't say it's right. Say it's hard. I will agree with you. Don't say it's right. Don't try to say scripture. It's never scripture. No scripture supports it. And let me end with the last scripture, and I'll take a few questions. Those of you on Instagram, please, if you have questions, use the question icon so I can read it. But your questions scroll pretty fast. Facebook and YouTube, I'll try my best to catch up with you guys in the questions and sections too. Because this is a monogamy is a Western thing. It's a scriptural thing, not a Western thing. Last scripture example we'll talk about. The popular scripture
where they say God gave David many wives. I don't know, would you mark if you can find that one? That God gave Moses, God gave David many wives. So that's another example people use. I think that's 2 Samuel 12:8. Would you? Can you bring it? 2 Samuel 12:8. Also. So people say here that, scripture says, God said, I'll give you many wives. Let's look at the scripture then. Would you? Are you there? Please go to your Instagram. If you're asking questions, don't ask in these comments. Go to the question icon, so that I can see your questions. Ah, somebody's bringing the scripture from here. Second Samuel. Ah, you're not bringing it up. Thank you. Somebody has put it. So, it's here. So, I want to see if I can read it all. Okay, it says, 2 Samuel 12:8. It says, God gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. Guys, are you following this? 2 Samuel 12:8. It says, I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all this has been too little, I would even give you more. Okay, so this is the scripture. So this was when David, went to, kill, basically took somebody's wife and killed the man and married, took the woman. And the prophet came to rebuke him and said, prophets were prophesying to him, that God said, I give you your master's house. Now, they were referring to Saul. Saul was the king before David. So God said, I give you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and I give you all of Israel and Judah. I said, if all that has not been enough, or if it was too little, I would have given you more. Some people have meant this to mean, I will give you more wives. And they've used the beginning to mean that God gave David wives. Please, let's say, like I told you, every time you see scripture that looks like it's contrasted, it's never contrasted. You must understand, check the nature, check the structure, you will know where the misunderstanding is coming from. There's no way God would have been saying, I will give you more wives. That's not what God is saying. What God was saying is that I gave you your master's throne. In those days, when you win somebody and take over somebody's kingdom, you inherit everything they have. It's by default. You inherit them. You inherit his servants. You inherit his horses. You inherit his cattle. They just didn't mention all those details here. Once they mention, I gave you your master's house, it includes the wives, it includes children, it includes everybody. They are under your authority. It doesn't even mean you have to marry those women. It just means they are under your authority. It is just basic cultural stuff. It's not God saying you must take all these wives literally. That's not what God is saying. In Bible times, this is where their culture. Remember, I've explained this at the beginning. The three things you check is the nature of the speaker, the structure of the issue, and then, the culture of the times. So even when people quote the story of Ruth, for instance, in the Bible, that Ruth was one that made the move to Boaz, that's not true at all. In Bible times, whenever somebody was a widow, they had a king's man redeemer. They had somebody from the family of the husband that should first consider the widow in marriage before he marries another person outside. This was their culture. So if they had two brothers, for instance, and one's wife dies, it was normal for the brother still alive to marry his dead brother's wife and continue to have children. Even in Nigeria, it was still happening till recently. People will inherit their brother's wife that died and marry them. If the brother didn't have the children, especially, he will impregnate her and make sure his brother has lineage. These are cultural issues. This has nothing to do with God's teaching. And remember, God needs to start with people where they are. He's not going to start with where they are not. He will start people where they are and be cleaning. Slavery was normal before. It was still Christians and people that had Christian mindset are still eradicated slavery. But it took many years. You can't save a man in his mindset in his absence now. You must start the journey of Christianity and the journey of godliness. Then we'll reach where we'll talk about slavery. You can't just be someone the first day and say, leave slavery. It doesn't work like that now. Let's first accept that God is the Almighty God. When we start from there, we'll get to the sensitive issues. That's how it was. So it's not a route went to toast Boaz.
it was Boaz's right and normal for him to marry his siblings. They call it Kinsman Redeemer. So it wasn't that she was making moves, which is what about. So now there's good things to teach that she went to make moves. No, she did not. Even though she made herself available and visible, which is normal, which every woman should do. But not that he's right to go and choose a man, rather a man to come and marry him. That's not biblical in any shape or form. It was a cultural issue. Somebody get what I'm saying? So let's be clear about these things, guys. So death was just normal for any king to inherit, you know, whatever he took over from the other king. It's not that God is actually giving him Saul's wives. What a joke. What a ridiculous joke. David was first of all a fine boy. Go and read now. Say it was fair to look. Well, if not wife he's looking for. If his wife is looking for, he can toast any woman. His son Solomon had 1,000 women now. So that was not the issue. The issue was that he said, I gave you your master's house. That is a phrase that simply means, I've given you everything that belongs to him. It's normal if I take over from somebody, I inherit everything that they have. It's clear. Because in Deuteronomy 17:17, and that will be the last question I'll take questions. God made it clear that he didn't want kings to multiply wives to themselves. So how can that same God now say, I give you wives? That's very contradictory. Except that God is confused. Then that's a different argument. But don't come and say God is telling somebody to go and marry, give somebody many wives. Deuteronomy 17:17, last one that you paint for me. Then we'll just go from there. Alright? So it's contradictory. God would never now tell somebody that he said, don't let your kings must not multiply wives to themselves. Then the same God that said, go and take many wives. No. No. He was just saying a phrase that, look, you hated your master's house, which includes all the things your master owns. Look at it here. He must not, talking about the kings of Israel, so he must not take many wives for himself, lest his heart go astray. He must not accumulate for himself large amounts of silver and gold. So it's there. Okay? So I hope I'm able to address all the common excuses people are trying to use to push polygamy. It's never biblical, never scriptural. It's clear where God stands. Two becomes one. All right? And for most people that want to do polygamy, when you were marrying that woman, did you tell her I'll marry many wives? Or did you say you're my one and only? You made a covenant commitment to somebody that we're going to be one. We're in a covenant. Then tomorrow, you want to add more people, you know, into the agreement, into the covenant. There's no more a covenant at that point. All right? Very, 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 very important. It's no more a covenant agreement at that time. All right? If you want to marry a woman, tell her from the beginning that you will have many, many wives. Let's see how that will work out. If she won't poison you at some point and take all your money, it won't work out. All right? And people saying things like, if you can manage it, if you can manage more than one wife, it's okay. No grown man can manage more than one wife. That means you don't know women. If you're saying that, you have no clue how women think and how women function. A woman's biggest threat is emotional competition. Men are territorial positionally, women are territorial emotionally. No sane, sound woman will share her husband. Even Sarah attempted it, told the ram, sleep with your house, let's have a child. When the child came there, she couldn't still stand it. No natural woman can bear it, because a woman's major need is security. And when you want to bring another woman in, you are taking out her major need. A woman's major need is not food. Most men today can walk and they can eat. It's that security. That's the main thing she needs, and that's the main thing you want to share. And take. You are joking now. You don't know women now. Nobody can manage. Everybody tell you they're managing that. They're not managing it. There's a lot of this coming. And check those homes where there's polygamy. Check how those stories end. Check the competition, the fights, the killing, the murder, the poisoning, the hatred. Go and check those homes where there's polygamy. I've been a counselor to you something, yes, sir. Go and check those homes where there's polygamy. Tell me how much peace there is. Tell me there's no bad blood. Always murder, always hate, and things like that. All right. Hope this was helpful. Let's take a few questions. When I was doing the preparation for this, I had to even speak to some malams, some Muslims, to understand where they are coming from with their own understanding. You know, I had to study all that. Because I saw somebody's comment said, so if polygamy is not right and Muslims do polygamy, Christians don't do polygamy, I thought we're serving the same God. The person saying that you need to be born again. That's what I have to say to you. Because for you to be saying that means you don't understand. We're two different, we have two different beliefs. We're not the same in any shape or form. Alright? I'm not against anybody's religion. I'm just telling you the facts. We're not the same at all in any shape or form. The thing that governs us are not the same at all. Alright? The Bible is clear.
about that. So please, I would like to take some questions and some concerns about this issue. All right. So use the question icon. There are so many questions there. Facebook, you can ask your own right on the feed there. Let's see if we can answer them. If your spouse decides to be polygamous after years of being in marriage, what can you do? Is your call? I don't know what you should do. If it's something you can handle, then it's up to you. If you can't handle it, then you have to make an exit plan. If it's something you don't want to do. You know, usually when people want to justify it, polygamy will not solve your sexual problem. That I'm saying. Solomon tried this thing. He hit 1,000. Do you know the insanity of 1,000 women? You need to sit down and think about it. Think about the insanity involved in 1,000 women. There's no way that guy would have ended sin. Go and check his last days, his writings of his last days. He was already running mad. There's no way you can remain sin. 1,000 women. Do you know how deep women are? Do you know how complex women are? You know. You have 1,000 because it doesn't satisfy. You see fat one, say, "Oh, this fat one, I like to try that." You see slim one, say, "Oh, slim, nice, yellow, oh, yellow, papa." Then you see black, you say, "Oh, I like the melanin." Then you see big bum, you say, "Oh, bum bum." You see big boobs, "Oh," you just kill yourself. Solomon tried it. None of these things will satisfy, except God gives you the gift of content. Man, you become content. All right, so it's up to you to determine if you stay or not, if it's something you want to stay with or not. So it's up to you. It's a big deal. I get it, but it's your decision. These people quoting tradition, how come they don't copy all of the tradition? You are using the iPhones and applying for visa abroad. Did our forefathers Japa? Are you driving cars and all that? Yes, good comment. Some people said, should Christians apply culture in their home? So this is the beauty of it. As long as the culture is not contradicting the scriptural stand you have. So for instance, when I was getting married to my wife, I have to tie the wrapper, their own wrapper. When I come to marry, I have to tie their own village wrapper before she now ties my own. That's fine. There's no problem with that. But now, they don't want them to drink alcohol. I don't drink alcohol. You know, I didn't do that part of it. You know, doesn't want them to buy alcohol. Of course, I don't buy alcohol. So they just have to pay for it. So I paid. I can pay money. It's part of my bride price. You guys can do whatever you want with it. It's your money. So things like that. I don't think it doesn't, you know, contradict scripture. Culture is okay. God, the Bible is clear. It says, give custom to whom custom is due. So God is not against custom or culture. It's very clear. All right. As long as that culture is not contradicting the scripture. So if the culture involves you going to kill somebody or make sacrifice to other gods. So no, you can't apply that. Do you understand? So I hope that helps you though. Let me see. For those who decide to be polygamous, is there punishment from God for that? This is actually a good question. Interestingly. I think generally there is no God is not punishing anybody's sin, generally speaking. I know many people think God is punishing people. God is not. It's clear from John chapter 3 and all that God didn't come to condemn anybody. So he's not punishing people. There's a final day of judgment and punishment. If you're not born again, you will have to face that one. But here on the earth, God is not punishing people. What happens to many people is that the consequences of their sin is catching up with them. And sin has consequences. Alright, sin has consequences. If I steal somewhere, it's not God that come and punish me. There's a law of the land that will catch me. Alright? If they catch me, they'll send me to prison. Now, on that punishment of the consequence of the sin is that I'm also affecting myself. So when you have 13 wives, it's gonna affect your productivity, it's affect things about your life. You will not have peace. So that's the consequence. It's affecting how you're thinking. But not that God is going about punishing you. No, God will punish you. That's not his place. That's not what he has to do. Alright? That's not what he says. If God is punishing people, trust me, none of us will be on this IG life. We'll be dead. We'll be serving punishment. We'll be answered, neither somewhere serving punishment. So, the wages of sin is death. That death there, thank you for saying that, Trinity. Wages of sin is death. That death there is talking about separation from God. So, it's not fine. The death there is not that you cut your neck, no. That wages of sin is death is separation from sin. When Adam sinned, he did not die, you notice, but he was separated, you know, from God. So, that's what death there means. It doesn't mean you would die. All of us are going to die, whether you sin or not. We're all going to physically die. That's not what they're talking about. The death there is talking about separation from God. Okay, so I hope that helps you, Trinity. Let's see a few more questions. Facebook, I'm not seeing your questions on this. Facebook and YouTube, write your questions on your timeline. I'll answer it. Some said that Paul talking about elders and bishops sticking to one wife, or I can't finish the question here. Some said that Paul talking about elders and bishops sticking to one wife to be part of the working church. I think I've answered this. Should the wife divorce the husband if he takes a second wife without her agreement? It's up to her. It's not. That's not for me to decide. You know. That's not for me to decide. Okay. So it's up to them to determine how they want to do it. If she feels she can't cope with that, then she's okay to divorce and move to something else. All right. Let me see if I'm having any Facebook question. Let me see. Someone said, how do you solve the church doctrine puzzle in line with the scriptures? The way churches separate doctrines is really affecting the mindset of many people in the wrong direction. For instance, church saying God has given them grace to marry several women. Truth, everybody that is really born again has the Spirit of God, and you kind of will have, you know, a marker, a check on your spirit. So even if somebody's telling you rubbish, you should be able to know that this doesn't agree with my spirit, this doesn't agree with scripture. So you must also grow. People don't want to grow, just want somebody to feed them everything. It's not going to work like that. All right, you must grow. If I thought she was born in Brazil, I was home. She's not sent up. Okay, if somebody's born in Brazil, so that's not their problem now. They should. The parents will answer for that one. She continue. Should the wife also have answered that? This pastor, with the recent occurrence in marriage, do you still advise women to build their homes and support their men financially? Because most men forget the financial support of the woman, women bringing their home and start misbehaving. That doesn't mean you should not support your husband. Don't let the thing going on to shake you. There's still many good men and women out there, so you must still do what is right. All right, you can't say that's the way you're not going to support your husband. Just make sure you marry the right kind of person. And you know, and that's another thing I've noticed. I've noticed with women especially, you guys build an ungodly marriage from scratch. Then you want the man to be godly inside the marriage. So it's a major challenge I've noticed. You both meet as unbelievers, or you are a believer, you go and marry an unbeliever that you know he's not a Christian. You know he's not yielded to God. Even you, most of you, almost like you're not yielded to God. You both of you are living a life of fornication from scratch. But suddenly you want this guy to become, you know, holy inside marriage. So a lot of you are looking for miracles or wonders, you know, that can never happen. You both built on ungodly foundation from scratch. It was an ungodly foundation. You know, so so where do you want this man to just change from? Okay? So this person says, sir, well done for your insights, but I totally won't agree with you on your submission. Are you aware that since the existence of Israelites till today, there has never been a law against polygamy? Secondly, the only thing here is that we all understand that monogamy has flourishing benefits compared to polygamy. So the reason we promote it, then almost all men favor scripture. Okay, I think you came late. Sub Money TV, you came late, so you have to watch your video. You are taking us back to what I've answered, okay? I'm a product of polygamy, but I can boldly say that up till now, it's affecting my life negatively. Thank you, Benzimo. That's such an honest conversation and truth. So that's true. All right. So women, start from beginning to build godly homes. All right. You're not a believer. You can't marry to a believer. Somebody that without Christ, you know, these things we are teaching needs the Spirit of God. It's not, a natural man is not going to stay with one woman. Most. Okay. It's not just in the nature of men to do that. In this time and age, where Christianity has spread wide, what's the consequence of engaging in polygamy? I've answered that. Can a divorced woman or widow marry? Will it be sin? I've answered that. Go and check my former videos. How do we solve this? Okay, about some of these things. About gender equality, is there an explanation as to why there is no woman among the 12 apostles? Okay, I don't know that. All right, I don't know why there was no woman among the 12 apostles. So let's not break our head about what we don't understand. Maybe sometime in the future we will know why God did that. Okay, so personally, I don't know why there was no woman. My proposed girlfriend says she needs counseling. Please, can you help me? Yeah, reach out to our office. Is your alcohol no policy a personal choice? I don't know if we need to do another video one day on alcohol, but if you're a born again Christian, your spirit should answer this question for you. On what grounds does the church grant divorce? I've answered this before. Sin is wrong and polygamy is wrong. So is it considered a sin? Okay, let me say this. What about addressing polygamy from the perspective of the woman? He can... of the woman, he can a second wife. I don't know what you were saying, but I think you're trying to say... Tombury says, if a man brings a second wife and his first wife leaves based on that, if she now marries another person, will she be wrong or right? She's free to marry another person. All right, go and watch our audition on divorce. If you're properly divorced, you're free to remarry. It's all over scripture. Okay? We broke down the difference. What confuses people is the putting away and the divorce. They confuse the same thing. So you need to go and watch my video. I've done some. Go and check the last live, IG live we did. You know, it's answered it. What about addressing the polygamy from a woman's perspective? Yes. Some women too, you know, because they're tired of being alone and all that, they would rather be a second wife than be no wife at all. You need to understand that, you know, you are breaking somebody's home. You need to get that. It's not something you wish for yourself, not something you wish for your mom, not something you wish for your sisters. So it's just greed. Like I told you, at the beginning of this thing, I established that men and women are flawed. And that's why I think we all need Christ. Without Christ, we are all wicked. That's how it works. So nobody's better than the other person. So today is not about us saying that men are useless and men are wicked. No, men and women are bad. It's women that are marrying as the second wives now. These second wives and third wives we're talking about, it's not women that are, it's women that are being married now. So women are bad too, as bad. Women are as bad and as corrupt and as horrible as men are. You know, men are not marrying men now. Men are not cheating with men now. Men are cheating with women. You know, so it's never right. My father married three wives. You don't even bring it down. Somebody's coming up fast. So my father married three wives. Yeah. It's from YouTube. My father married three wives and the women were doing evil against each other. So we, the children, are not doing well because of too much juju. That's a very, very good question. I mean, good comment. Some people need to see these things. It never ends well. Don't let anybody deceive you. This polygamy thing never ends well. And me, I'm not even here just talking based on the moral grounds. I'm here talking that there's no such scriptural support that God will ever want to see a believer to marry more than one wife. You know, you marry a covenant now. You're making a covenant with someone. You can't have many. What are you talking about? You made a pledge now. You made a pledge to someone now. All right. Let's take two more from Facebook and YouTube, then two more from Instagram. Then we'll go. Today, please, what do we do when women far outnumber men in church and you are over whatever? It's not your problem is not church, your problem is God. You and God that have, let me even take that as a question. What do we do when women far outnumber men in church? You see, your problem is that you're looking at church as your only supply. Church is not your supply, God is your supply. God can import a husband or a wife for you from somewhere else, it doesn't have to be from your church. So, remove your eyes from the wrong things. I think most people struggle because they don't understand how faith works and they don't use their faith. All right. So please, what if a Christian man impregnates a lady? Can you pin that? Will the whole thing show? Good. What if a Christian man impregnates a lady out of wedlock? Does he abandon the lady and the child, or should the lady terminate the baby, or should the man take care of both mother and child outside wedlock? Okay. If a Christian man impregnates a lady, the responsible thing for any man to do is to be responsible for any child he has, whether it's inside wedlock or outside wedlock. He has to be responsible for the child. So, yeah. He doesn't have to marry the woman. Okay? He has made the first mistake. But marrying the woman is on the November again. You don't have to. Both of you are fornicating now. You know what you are doing. Wasn't that? It's not one man's, not the man's fault. It's not the woman's fault. It's both of them that are doing it. All right? This one says a good one. There are people who have married equally yoked people, then 14 years later, gains a second family. Okay, I don't have the details of how you married, so I can't say for sure if you are equal yoked, but let's assume you are, you know, equal yoked. There's nothing you can do in that case. People sometimes change, so this doesn't mean, you know, you have to continue. If it's really something dicey that you can continue, you can move on. If you want to stay, you can stay. It does happen, but a lot of times when people say these things, there were signs, they just didn't see it. All right, last one from this side, last one from this side. So let's see. Any good one for Steve? I hope this was helpful, guys. Let me do this one. So, I'll soon take the last questions, guys. I hope this was helpful. I need to see your comments. Let me know. Let me know if this was helpful. If this was helpful, let me know. Let me know. Comments. There are a lot of comments I've passed on that even we have not seen. Sorry, guys. When I'm talking, I'm not. It's women that are good at looking at comments while they're talking. My wife can do it. But me, if I'm talking, I can't look at comments. But, okay, Ify Nobi, he says it's not okay to marry for the first. Please go and check. We've done a full. The battery is running low. How come it's running? And showing full here. Always charged. So, Ify asking about marrying after divorce, you have to go and watch my IG live. I can't preach the whole sermon all over for you. Alright? So this was, do we have a last one from here? Yes.
It was a statement for us.
Okay, can put it. The two last things are not really questions. Let me answer Ugo Patrick. So I've seen a polygamous family that lives in peace and all the children are doing well. Patrick, you're not inside that marriage now. You know? You're not inside that marriage. I can tell you for free, sir. It is women that are there. You, Patrick, let's even leave you. Sacrifice yourself for this thing you believe. Date two women, let them two of them know. If you live longer than 6 months, I all of you live longer than 6 months. If one person doesn't die in that 6 months, let me know all about it. Patrick, let's do that test. Date two women. Let them know that, hey, I'm a polygamist. I'm planning to be polygamist. So I'm practicing now to date two women. I'm dating two of you. Try it. Then come back and let's discuss. You'll be cured forever. And the last one here is drinking and smoking against scripture. I don't want to go into that because I want to do that to chicken on that day. But anything that intoxicates you, God only wants one thing to control you, and that's the Holy Spirit. So anything else that wants to take control of your life, you know, becomes a problem to God and becomes a problem to you, really. So, even though people will tell you there's nowhere scripture says you should not drink again, it comes back to the three things we mentioned. What's the nature of God's talking? What's the structure? And what's the culture of the time? You understand that God can never be in support of alcohol. It's not. Alcohol takes over your life. That's what it seeks to do. All right. Anything that intoxicates, even driving. If you drive under the influence, you'll be arrested. Why are they arresting you? Because they feel you're not in full control of yourself. Why would a Christian not want to be in full control of himself? That's the question. Why would a Christian not want to be in full control? There was a pilot one time, you know, he saw somebody that doesn't drink, and he asked the guy, so you don't drink? I said, no. The guy said, that's ridiculous. So he drinks, so the man asked, so why are you not drinking today? He said, because he's on duty. Then the Christian said, I'm on duty every day too. All right, so you know, Ephesians 5. I don't go into the teaching, but the same way the Bible didn't say you should not smoke in their hemp. Why won't you smoke in their hemp? The Bible didn't even say you should not watch porn. Okay, but porn is lust, sir.
So we can address that. So for the person asking, if you have not followed my page on wholesome sexuality, that person asking about pornography, we have even a webinar coming up on that. So please, if you want to know more about that, follow the page wholesome sexuality. If you have not subscribed to any of our YouTube channels, please subscribe to our YouTube channels. Kings Looking For on YouTube, wholesome sexuality on YouTube, LDN with PK on YouTube, and also on Instagram. Follow these pages. It will bless you. We have an about to wed webinar for couples that are about to wed or just wedded. You know, there's a class for you. It says sex. You're about to wed or you just wedded. It will really, really help you. A lot of couples struggle in those areas. So please, it's a free webinar. Register on their profile page from Wholesome Sexuality. You click on their link. You have to register for it. If you want to be a relationship coach or marriage counselor, we do trainings from all over the world. It's an online training, so you can plug in from anywhere you are in the world. It's self-paced. Please go to reach us or you can at our link in bio and register. You'll be a trained and certified relationship counselor or marriage coach. If you want me to mentor you, you are a life coach, you're a family practitioner already, you're a relationship coach, you want me to mentor you, there's no registration attached to that. You can go to my link in bio and register. Then if you're a family life practitioner, that means you're a marriage coach, relationship counselor, parenting, anything family life, premarital counseling, whatever. We have an international family life conference, family life practitioners conference, coming up on October 20th. We'd like you to mark that date, October 20th, so that you can be a part of it. So thank you guys. I'm going to post this when I'm done. You know, I hope it was a blessing to you. So is it good for your husband to tell his wife that he's doing the wife a favor for training his own children? You know, these are funny, funny people. You know. All right. So thank you guys. Hope this was useful. Hope you were blessed. Let's keep in touch. Till next Saturday, next webinar. Please don't forget about the webinar, free webinar. Register. It's been blessed. All right. Thank you guys. Hope it was. Thank you all my scripture people, Jumak and the rest. Thank you. It's good seeing you guys. Divine Celeste, I love you. Love you guys. God bless you. All the crew, Sauche, everybody. All the crew. See you guys. If you're in town, please attend church tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. We're talking about Ecclesia tomorrow in all our services. Vivian, I see you. God bless you. See you in church tomorrow. All right. So God bless you guys. All right.